Let's start with a word of prayer and jump into the message here. Heavenly Father, we come before you and I want to thank you so much just for being the King of the universe, Almighty God. Thank you, God, for this place. Thank you, God, for those who serve here and want to do your will. I thank you for any guests that are here and ask that you'd open up all of our hearts and minds to your word. God, if there are things I speak that aren't of you, I pray that that become known. Lord, I do believe the message I have today is from you. And I ask that you'd completely empty me out and fill me up with you, Holy Spirit. And I pray that we would not just hear with our physical ears, but our spiritual ears as well. And God, I pray that we would use our minds today for you. And I lift this up to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm a huge lover of history. I absolutely dig it. When I was not a lot younger, but quite a bit younger than I am now, I had a gentleman who took time and discipled me for about a year. And one thing he had me do was memorize all of 1 Corinthians 13. And after that, he said, "Now go read a book about General George S. Patton Jr." And I must have had a puzzled look on my face because he said, "What's the problem? Is the problem I'm having you read a man about a man of war? And you just learned about love?" I said, "Yeah, that's kind of confusing to me." And then he looked me right in the eye and said, "Do you want me to disciple you or not?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, then go do what I'm telling you to do." So I did. What he helped me to do and helped me to understand was to, in essence, build a board of directors for life with Jesus as the all-time, lifetime head of that board. He taught me how to learn from three people in the Bible, have them on your board, and the others was to read biographies of great men and women in history. And then take that information, and as you go through life, well, learn to live off that wisdom. It's pretty incredible, to be honest with you. And there are days I'll have a board meeting, if you will, because I have a very hard decision to make. And he told me I would do this, and I have. I've taken time and literally taken placed books out as if those people were sitting there and going, "Okay, how would Mother Teresa deal with this? How would Corrie ten Boom deal with this? How would Jesus deal with this? How would General Patton deal with this?" And in essence, we'd have a board meeting. I love history. I absolutely love it. I was at a Memorial Day event where they honored Civil War veterans. I honestly was a little taken aback that day that they actually took time to remember those who died for the North and the South. I mean, wasn't the South the enemy? Weren't they defeated? I was pretty confused. I was confused as why they did this, which put me still further on my journey and digging into history. Then something happened that would impact my family and me for the rest of our lives. I knew this was going to be a great event for our family. I just wasn't completely, well, sure in the way that it was going to affect our family. And I didn't realize how important and impactful it really would be. What was that event? Well, my second son had won the Elks State Soccer Shootout. And because of him, we were able to go to Maryland back in 2014. In March of 2014, as a family, we visited Washington, D.C. We were able to see monuments of Jefferson, Washington, Lincoln, and even FDR. And we went to the memorials of the Korean War, Vietnam War, and of World War II. If visiting those places wasn't incredible enough, we were also able to visit the Smithsonian. And in all honesty, it was in this place, in D.C., that really got me thinking and praying and researching about our topic today. But before I get to all that, there was one other place that impacted me even more. That place was Gettysburg. Friends, this is the part of our journey that, for me, changed my life. And I do want to pause quickly and let you know, if I get really emotional today, it's because this is only the second time I've ever preached this message. And so it's all still really new to me as well. And these feelings I have are genuine. The first time I preached it was an hour and 45 minutes ago, or about 2 hours ago. Friends, if you've never been to this place, you really need to make sure that you go there before you die. And in my humble opinion, it is a place you absolutely must take your children before they move out of the house. And no matter how much it costs you, you must absolutely pay to get a personal guide through the battlefield for at least 2 hours. And if you're going, well, I don't want to do that because it's about $80 an hour, then I challenge you with this. I'll help pay so that you can get that guide. That is how serious I am about this. And by the way, I'm not a rich man. But if you're there, let me know. I know some of the guides, and maybe they can I can get one of them to do it. So you heard it. I will help you pay to get the guide. I believe it's that important. The sacrifice that was made there for you and for me and our freedom, it is just unimaginable. What those men did on that field for both the North and the South is unexplainable, in my opinion. Even our guide, while going through the field, told us that he was on another trip, another tour, where someone else was giving the tour, and General Norman Schwarzkopf was on the tour. Yes, that General Norman Schwarzkopf. And this is what our guide told us that Norman Schwarzkopf said. He said, what these men did on this battlefield at Gettysburg is something our men and women of today would not have done. Now, he wasn't diminishing what our men and women have done today or from that time. He was just pointing out the very fact of the incredible thing that happened on this battlefield. You need to go. If you think the fighting men of the South should not be honored right along with the fighting men of the North, then you absolutely need to take a trip to Gettysburg. Please, friends, get educated. Now, what really got me thinking and praying and researching, again, was our trip to the Smithsonian, if you don't remember. But first things first. Some of you might be wondering, what happened to my second son? By the way, he's sitting right over here. And I have two of my other children over there, too. So what happened? Well, my second son, as I said earlier, went on to represent the state of Ohio in the soccer shootout. And we went to the Mid-Atlantic soccer shootout, and he got third place out of seven states. So that was pretty darn exciting. But back to the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C. One of the guides at the Smithsonian said something that I had heard earlier in my life, but I never really considered it up until she actually made the statement again. And that statement was this: don't forget that you own all of this. These national treasures are owned not by those who work here in Washington, but each and every citizen of the United States of America. That statement burned deep into my being. And it set me on a path and journey that's, well, brought me to you here today. It got me thinking, who is the government in the United States of America? Who is it? And while on this journey and finding what I believe I've found about this nation, it has really got me to seriously consider, if God really does set up governments in this world, what does that mean for the United States? Above all other nations, except maybe Israel, what does that mean for the citizenry of the USA? And in essence, quite possibly the world. So let's get started. Now, this won't be up on your screen just yet. I want you to just listen for a moment. We'll be in Romans 13 if you want to crack open your Bibles. Romans 13 is where we'll be at today. And when we read Romans 13, after we move on a bit, I think you'll see that it is clear cut when you read it of the answer of who is the government in the United States of America. You see, we have to define terms within this text before we can answer the question. This chapter starts out with a very powerful verse. Romans 13, verse 1 says, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Okay, so we know that there are governing authorities, and we know that God establishes these governing authorities according to Romans 13, 1. Can we agree on that? Yes? So friends, as believers in Jesus Christ, we are called to be subject to the government put into place by God. So if you have been placed under a monarchy, this is the governing authority that you are to submit to. If you're placed, in a democracy, then this is what you are subject to. Even a dictatorship. If you are under that sort of rule, well, You're subject to that governing authority that has been put in place there. Now, before anybody goes a little crazy on me regarding dictatorship, I'm not going to spend time in this message regarding lawful and unlawful rules, but suffice it to say, in my humble opinion, I believe that Scripture does leave open the door for Christ followers to stand up against things that go against God and His ways. But this is for another time, okay? If you'd like to talk about that later, we can do that. So let's dig into Romans 13, 1 through 5 right now. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. For rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring judgment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. Friends, in the United States of America, we have been given a very unique responsibility and place in our government. I believe that the terms set forth in Romans 13 absolutely need to be defined in order for its citizens to understand, that's us, to understand what this text is saying for our time and culture. And friends, I'm not reading into the text either. You see, we live in a different form of government. So let's take a look at two terms that we find in Romans 13. Those terms are governing authorities and servants. Governing authorities and servants. Who would be the governing authorities in the United States of America? Well, it's really not difficult at all to figure it out. When one takes a look at our founding documents, the U.S. Constitution, in the preamble, makes it quite clear. This is what it says. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. To ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Did you hear it? You see, that's right. We, the people, equal the governing authorities. We, the people. The next definition we need to find for our term is servants. Who are the servants in our form of government? Who are they? Well, when I was in middle school, and high school for that matter, even though I didn't really listen very well at times, because let's get real, I love sports, anything with music, and girls, of course. You know. So I was kind of aloof, if you will. But I do remember that I was taught that being elected to serve the people of the nation was the ultimate act of service for our country. In our form of government, those elected to governmental office are the servants to we the people, are they not? So servants equal those who work for we the people. Let's keep this in mind. We the people are actually the governing authorities in the United States. We the people elect our representatives and even the office of president to serve us. I think many of us have forgotten this. You see, this is a very big deal. Why would that be? Well, according to Romans 13, and I'm just reading the scripture, according to Romans 13 and our form of government, God has established we the people as the governing authorities in this nation. Let that sink in for a moment. Which I believe is an absolutely incredible responsibility. And if that doesn't scare you a little bit, I don't know if you're breathing. Because the responsibility is huge. If the servants who are elected officials and those who work for them decide to rebel against the governing authorities, well, then we see in Romans 13 that they are rebelling against God himself and what he's instituted. And that they will bring judgment onto themselves. So with that in mind, let's reread Romans 13 in this light. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, we the people. For there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities, we the people, that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever, the servants, rebels against the authority, we the people, is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers, we the people, hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority, we the people? Then do what is right and you will be commended. For the one in authority, we the people, is God's servant for your good. But if you, servants, do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. Second Amendment. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Do you see the incredible responsibility we have been given? No one else on this planet ever in the history of the world has had such a great responsibility put on them. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, we the people, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. Again, we are in a very unique position in the USA. Now, for those of you who are struggling and going, now, whoa, wait a minute. You're just going too far with this, Jason. Because for some of you, this is possibly the first time you've ever seriously considered this. Others of you are going, yes. And I do want to warn those that are going, yes, remember the responsibility we have. Let's take a look at our founding documents. We the people are the government in the USA. We are the government who elect representatives to serve we the people, right? When these elected servants work and go outside of the scope of their range of service, within the proper framework of the U.S. Constitution, they are in rebellion. I would like to try and help each one of us understand this idea I'm presenting here with this story. One day, Ron, who is the owner of a home, needed to move his family to another state. He decided to rent this property and found Joe and his family to rent it while he was, well, away, living out of state. Ron moved to his new property to live, and Joe started renting this other property. Month after month, Joe paid Ron his rent, and months became years. After 15 years of renting, Joe figured out that he had actually paid Ron what the house was worth. And he decided, you know what? I'm going to stop paying rent. I've paid for this place. After the first month of not paying rent, Ron contacted Joe. And he said, Joe told Ron, oh, don't worry. Ron, I'll pay you soon. I've come under some difficult times. I'll get that money to you as soon as I can. This took place for 3 months. And still no payment. Ron decided to take a trip to his house that Joe was renting and found that Joe was claiming the house to be his own property. In fact, Joe wouldn't even let Ron in. Changed the locks. Ron had noticed that some things were now changed to favor what Joe liked and what Joe wanted. Even though Ron had never agreed to this. Joe made claims that others in power had given him permission to make these changes that he wanted, and he no longer needed Ron's permission because times had changed. Yet Ron was the one who held the deed to the property. And he was the rightful owner. Ron was the one with the rightful claim to the property. Some hearing this may say, well, of course Ron owned the home. Plus, he had the deed. I believe that this little story shows a great parallel that's going on today in our country. The renters are our representatives, claiming to be the government in the USA, when all they really are effectively are renters of a position or office that they're holding. You remember back with the Smithsonian? This lady, the guide, it burns so deep in me. She's the one who brought that up. She's like, you understand, this is yours. The U.S. Constitution says so. It gives me chills every time I think about it. And they aren't just chills of happiness. They're kind of chills of fear. Because of the great responsibility we have. Friends, the owners, we the people have given these representatives permission to hold that office. The owners have given the renters a certain boundary to work within. And unless you've been sleeping under a rock, many of them seem to be working outside of that boundary, effectively rebelling against we the people. Friends, we the people are the authority that God himself put into place, according to Romans 13. How can I make this claim? We the people hold the deed, the U.S. Constitution. what does it say about rebels in Romans 13? Romans 13:2 says, consequently, whoever, servants, representatives, rebels against the authority, we the people, is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those servants' representatives who do so will bring judgment on themselves. Friends, those aren't my words. That is straight up from Scripture according to our form of government. Think about it. As I wrap up here, I'll be back next week, and I want to finish up with some quotes. Because, friends, just to get us thinking a bit for next week, I'd like to share with these quotes with you from our founding fathers of our nation. You know, I've been blessed to work with Worldview Warriors now 10 years. Worldview Warriors is a nonprofit organization that, well, me and a few other people run. We have been so blessed with what God is doing, not just through our radio programming, but our blogging and our events and speaking all over the country. Neat thing is we're on about 100 stations across the country right now. We're hoping that grows even more. But you see, because of this, we're able to have a very large presence on the internet. We get to speak to atheists, agnostics, deists, and anything else you can think of. And we get told all the time, look, the founders, they're just deists. They weren't Christians at all. This nation isn't Christian. This nation isn't founded on Christian principles. Well, go start digging. See if it's true. If someone makes claims, even as I am doing right now, you got to go and research. You need to go look and go, is what they're saying true? You see, we had so many people going at us about this of, no, that's just not true. The founders, they didn't believe in Jesus. They weren't following Jesus. Well, the first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, John Jay, by the way, I can't go back any farther. He's the first one. Says this, providence, that's God, by the way, has been given to our people the choice of their rulers. And it is the duty as well as the privilege and interest of our Christian nation, I did not say that, he did, to select and prefer Christians as their rulers. I thought these guys weren't Christians. Samuel Adams, signer of the Declaration of Independence and maker of his own beer. I mean, yeah. He says this, he who made all men, gee, who would that be? Oh yeah, Almighty God. He who made all men hath made the truths necessary to human happiness obvious to all. Our forefathers opened the Bible to all. I didn't think these guys followed the Bible. John Adams, President of the United States. The general principles upon which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity. I will avow that I believed and now believe that those general principles of Christianity are as eternal and immutable as the existence and attributes of God. I don't know about you, but when I start seeing these things, it's like, man, I'm putting another arrow back here. I'm ready for the fight. Yeah, let's go. Someone says, no, we're not founded upon Christianity. You sure? Yes, we are. Friends, Benjamin Rush, signer of the Declaration of Independence. My only hope of salvation's in the infinite, transcendent love of God manifested to the world by the death of his Son upon the cross. Nothing but his blood will wash away my sins. I rely exclusively upon it. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. He signed at the bottom of the Declaration of Independence. Patrick Henry, who pronounced, "Give me liberty or give me death." By the way, before I started this journey, I thought that that was kind of a bad quote. I didn't understand it. I was like, I don't want to die. After researching more and understanding what this means, give me liberty or give me death. Give me liberty. I don't want safety. I want liberty. Allow me to live the life that I've been given, to live it for God in all that I do, and get out of my way. And by the way, I can say that because I am one of the governing authorities of this nation. If you're an atheist or a deist here today, you go live the way you want. Go ahead. Just don't ask me to be forced to pay for your consequences. You take your own consequences, and if God tells me I should help you with them, I will. Allow me with my relationship to live it out. Patrick Henry says this, "The Bible is worth all other books which have ever been printed." I didn't even know he was a Christian. George Washington, George Washington, you know, kind of a big deal. You know, I don't know if you get on the internet much, but there is a video out there where this guy is going around and asking, "Do you know who Washington, D.C. is named after?" By the way, I'm not kidding. A lot of them are, I don't know. Oh, my goodness. Or they just laugh. Let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. Reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principle. You want to get away from religion? You want to get away from God? Okay, but be ready for immorality to take over. That's what he's saying. If you want to get away from God and his principles, well, woe to you. Don't imagine that you can get rid of God and still live a good life. That's what he's saying. Last one, we hear all the time that our third president probably wasn't a Christian. In my research, I don't know about that. That is between him and God. Because there's quotes like this out there from him. This is unbelievable. This is from Notes on the State of Virginia, Query 18, 1794. "And can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we've removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are of the gift of God? That they are not to be violated but with his wrath. Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that his justice cannot sleep forever." This is a serious warning. You want to get rid of the foundation that this country was founded upon? Well, get ready for God's wrath. Friends, look, I can't be any more clear. Look at our world today. Look at it. Look at our country. This is happening. So what do I challenge you with? Well, I challenge you to come back next week. Because I like speaking to big crowds. No, I'm kidding. Come back next week and bring a friend, please. You see, what we're doing right now with these quotes, we're going to be doing a lot of that next week. Because we need to be educated. But here's my challenge to you above and beyond that. You need to start living out your faith in the public square. And when asked, tell them why you're living the way you are. And don't be a wimp. Don't be going, oh my gosh, these guys are going to think I'm just an idiot. Yep, probably so. But it's better than the alternative, which is us living as hypocrites in the public square and then people calling us out on it. Aren't you sick of that? I am so sick of that. I am so sick and tired of the world being right about us Christians and how we live in the public square. I'm not saying all of us, but a good majority. And you know why I'm so sick of it? Because our Lord and Savior gave his life for us. We have the greatest news for the world to hear. And we don't share it. Yes, do it through your actions, of course. But if you're just doing good social things without Jesus, oh, what does George Washington say about that? You can't do it. It doesn't work. Let us caution. Indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. You want to do morality without God? Do you want to go do good things in the world without God? It will not work. Reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principle. You know it's happening. We all know it. This summer, on July 5th, you are going to have an opportunity to start your summer series in studying the Bible. It's called Not a Fan. It is time to get out of these chairs, to get off the bleachers, and to get in the game. Look. Athletes do not just get out there and kick people's butts. Okay? They train, they work, they lift weights, they do all this hard work. And what do? Oh, look, we won. We didn't do squat. They did it all. All you did was go get them, Jimmy. You didn't do nothing. Yes. Verbal encouragement is great. But to sit there and go, oh yeah, we're a part of the team. Baloney. That's absolute garbage. I mean, Cavs won 2 years ago. This year was kind of a heartbreaker. We all know that. But they won it. I can say this because I'm a Minnesota Vikings fan. It's just awful. We can't win squat. You notice what I just did? We. It ain't we. They keep losing. Get off the bleachers. And one way you can do that is July 5th, Wednesday night. Is it 6:30? 6:30. You make sure you're here. Doing this will be huge, not just for your community here, but for the community. And what I love about this body of believers is you just don't affect Old Fort, you affect a region. You have serious potential to expand the kingdom of God. And now that you have this information, be the governing authorities you're called to be. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for each person in here. I thank you that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I want to thank you too, Lord, for everyone's patience with me today going a little long. I thank you, God, that, well, I thank you that you give us your word. I pray that we would understand that we need to read it and put it into action. I pray, God, that each person here understands, look, if they can't do stuff here at this church building, then they can start doing things at their workplace, at their home, at their school. God, I specifically right now, I'm just sensing I'm supposed to pray for fathers. Help fathers to understand their role in training up the children you've given to them. I ask that you would help them to become the warriors you're calling them to be. And they train their children to be the warriors you're calling them to be for the kingdom of God. That they would teach their children self-control, patience, love, and to see that your kingdom is far different than anything we see in the world. And I pray that you help fathers especially to make the tough calls. And I pray, God, too, for their wives, that when dad may seem a little harsh to their children, that the wives will go, you know what, I'm going to step back and let him take care of this, even though I don't necessarily like how he's handling it. I pray that you help, well, men and women understand we're very different. And that in this union, this wonderful marriage union, that your kingdom can expand. I pray for the United States of America. Lord, I don't worship the United States of America as none of us should. Only you deserve all the praise and honor and glory. But I ask that you help each one of us to understand the responsibility that you've given to each one of us in this room. Even if we don't know you, even if they're an atheist, that, well, in this republic, they have authority. I pray we'd start living it out. I pray for Old Fort Church that they would completely and totally turn to you, each person here. And that those who need to come and worship here corporately would do it. If that means growth, great. If it means you want the ones that are here, great. If it means there's some that need to leave, great. Whoever you're calling to be here, I pray they'd come here, but that they'd get real. God, I ask every person here that you would help them to find the place in their life that they have not turned it over to you. And that right now they would give it over to you and say, here, Lord, take this. I need to do your way. And God, I do pray that you would help our nation and your people to truly trust you. In God, we just, in God, we still trust. I lift this up to you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Well, as I dismiss you, I just wanted to let you know about a resource that I encourage you to get. I don't sell these or anything. You just have to find it on the internet. In God, we still trust. This is a year-long devotional. It's written by Richard G. Lee. And it's a good way to whet your appetite, if you will, on this. And also, I do have, we do a lot of blogging on the internet. And this is just one blog post. If you'd like a copy of it, you can come here and get an analog version of that. It's called Self-Ownership, Comprehensive Christian Ethic. It's written by a local pastor. His name is David Odegaard. If you're looking to dig into this just a little bit more, I want to do encourage you to go to our website, worldviewwarriors.org. Click the blog tab. There's tons of information there you can research and look at. And if anybody would like to talk, I'm going to stay up here, and I'll be back next week too. So let's close in prayer. We'll get out of here. Lord God, again, we thank you so much for being the King of the universe. I thank you for, again, Jesus Christ. We thank you for being born of a virgin, living your life sinlessly, being willing to go on the cross, dying and defeating death, and right now being seated at the right hand of the Father. We thank you for being in complete control, and help us to understand you are totally in control, no matter what happens when trials come. We thank you for that. Help us to live out our faith in you this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. One last thing I forgot to want to tell you. Tonight, if you want, I'm on 90.1 FM every Sunday night, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock for Do Not Keep Silent. We'll be discussing some of this tonight. It's a live program. And again, that's on 90.1 FM. So, thank you.